take your Bible and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalms 103, it is Thanksgiving weekend. We have much to be thankful for. I often go back and look and see where I've preached in the past in times like this, and by every 3 or 4 years, it seems this passage comes up, and I was convicted this week that really I ought to preach this every year at some point, because I think it is important for us as a people, especially a people blessed by God, to be a thankful people. So hopefully that's your heart this morning as you look at this next week and recognize that God has done so much in the life of our country, in the life of our community, in the life of our family, and in our life. And that calls us to be a people that truly gives thanks back to the Lord. Well, King David is going to offer a praise of thanksgiving. And so let me read that to you in Psalms 103. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies my mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executed the righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made his ways known unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." Father, we thank you, Lord, today for your word that is true. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. We thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. We come to say thank you today for these things that you have done for us. And so, Lord, I pray for a conviction into my life and the life of these under the sound of my voice, that we would leave here today simply saying thank you again for all these things. So, Lord, bless the time as we speak your word. Lord, help us to be found faithful in those things. Thank you for your promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. I think it was Johnny Carson, the talk show host of years gone by, said this, that Thanksgiving is an emotional holiday. People travel 1,000 miles to be with people they see once a year, and only to find out that once a year is way too often. Sometimes in life, we're around family, and it may not be good. But that's not really what Thanksgiving is all about. It's not this idea of just food and family. It is so much more. And yes, I know as Americans, we think about that first Thanksgiving with the Pilgrims and the Indians, that early time when they gathered and celebrated. Maybe your mind kind of draws later on to 1863 when Abraham Lincoln, that president, said, "This is a day of Thanksgiving." But really, it's not just an American holiday. It is a time we go back in the Bible to recognize that the Lord has called us to be a thankful people. And so through generations of time, people of God has simply raised their voice and said thank you to the Lord above. And so I just want to share just a few minutes this morning about some of the things of Thanksgiving that you should have in your mind. First is the demand of Thanksgiving, the demand of Thanksgiving. We recognize there is a clear command for us to give thanks. He says in verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." And so we recognize right off the bat that the psalmist says and wants us to understand that we should be a people that bless the Lord by giving back thanks, that we recognize that God has blessed us. And so notice this. One, our thanksgiving must be personal. Our thanksgiving must be personal. Notice again, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And again, we are good as a nation thinking about Thanksgiving. We are good as a community thinking about Thanksgiving. We celebrate that even in our schools. They do all the little turkey things and the pumpkins and things like that. As a church, we give out Thanksgiving baskets and we sing songs about Thanksgiving and we praise the Lord. But I wonder, do we ourselves truly give thanks on a personal level? What about me? Do we say thank you as we should? The psalmist said in 105 verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord and call upon his name." Psalms 100 verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." And so I think it'd be appropriate for us to recognize, even during this time of meditation, to see what we're thankful for. To understand what God has done for us and to recognize that God wants us to proclaim a day and to proclaim a time of thanksgiving, not just once a year, but every day in our life. And we need to recognize that we should be a thankful people. So have you given thanks to the Lord this week? Have you recognized that God has blessed you? Can you say, my life is a blessing to the Lord? The psalmist made it personal, and so should we. But not just personal. Notice this. Thanksgiving must be powerful. Thanksgiving must be powerful. Again, verse 1, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. All that is within me, with every fiber of being, that we should be a people that offer up a praise and thanksgiving to the Father above. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said about his preaching. He says, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. And so I think that same thing occurs in my life. As much as in me is, I should be ready to bless the Lord, to say thank you. And yet so many times we find that our thanksgiving, our praise, is not what it should be. It's kind of half-hearted. Has somebody ever given you a half-hearted apology? Or maybe have you ever seen a half-hearted apology? Maybe your kids are fighting, and you tell one kid, you need to apologize or say you're sorry to the other kid. And I say, I'm sorry. Seen that before? I wonder how God sees our praise, our thanksgiving. Does he see it with all that is within us, and we bless his name? Or is it really just a half-hearted praise of thanksgiving? I think the psalmist recognized how needful it was, and so should we offer up with all that we are, and we praise the Lord's name. So you say, well, how does that, or what does that look like? How can we do it with all of our heart? Well, there's a bunch of different ways, but let me just share a few things with you, I think, that we can pull out of the Word of God. One is we can say thanks with our singing. Psalms 13, verse 6 says, I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. That psalm recognized that God had blessed him, and so he simply sings back to the Father. Psalms 89, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will make known of thy faithfulness to all generations. Psalms 104:33, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Psalms 109, verse 30, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. God has called us to simply sing his good praises. The New Testament says something a little bit different. It says in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And it's that idea is that we just don't sing just because it's a time to sing, but we make melody, that we sing with our soul. With all that is in us, we bless the Lord's name. Secondly, by sharing, not just by singing, by sharing, giving what God has prospered you. I like 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2 says, upon the first day of the week, every one of you lay by in store as God has prospered him. And so the idea that we should give back, and I'm not preaching about money this morning, because some people, when you hear one word about money, oh, preacher, I don't preach about that. But let me just say, if God is blessed with things in your life, you should give back. You should give back of your time. You should give back of your treasure. You should give back of your talents. You should give back with your testimony. The Lord has blessed you, and you should say thank you by giving back. We should share with others. But thirdly, by submitting to the Word of God. Not just singing, not just sharing, but submitting to the Word of God. And that really means soaking up the Word of God. That means taking in the Word of God. So we should read and follow. We should read and apply. We should read and live by the Word of God. I'm reminded of the little story about the young boy who attended church for the first time. And his grandpa said, what do you think about that? He said, the music was great, but the commercial was a little bit too long. Sometimes in life, we can't get like, hurry up, preacher, be done. But it is the Word that transforms us and shows us and guides us and helps us to praise the Lord as we should. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commands. And we know his commands by the Word of God. And it calls us to live like him. Let me remind you that imitation is the highest form of flattery. Imitation is the highest form of flattery. In other words, if somebody acts like you or wants to be like you, that they are saying, hey, I admire you, and you are great in their eyes. And we can do no better than to imitate our Father above, to live like he wants us to live, to be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. We need to be faithful to that. But lastly, a satisfied attitude. We need to recognize not just singing and sharing and submitting, but a satisfied attitude to have the right spirit within us. If you go to verse 5 of chapter 103, it says, "Who satisfies thy mouth with good things." There's just something about satisfaction that just brings praise to the Father above. There's just something about that when we're satisfied, we understand that God has given us more than we need, and we are good with that. And let me remind you that true satisfaction is not determined by what you have, but by an attitude in your life. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 4:11, he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm struck both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." He says, "I have learned to be content. I have learned to be satisfied." It's a sad time when we live in a nation that preaches health and wealth, that, oh, if you do this, God's going to bless you. He's going to give you this and this and this. The problem with this and this and this is we can never get enough of those things. It's always about more, more, more. Learn to be satisfied with what God has blessed. Learn to say thank you for what you have. I wonder if God took away those things today that you didn't thank Him yesterday for, what would you have? We should recognize and be thankful of what God has given us, how good it is. I think about Jesus, an example of the things that he had. And he said in Luke chapter 9, verse 58, "And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds there have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Matter of fact, he would pray this prayer in Matthew chapter 6:11, "Give us this day our daily bread." I'm reminded we are some of the richest people in the whole world. God has blessed this community. God has blessed this church. God has blessed this country like no other. And sometimes it's easy to look around and say, who are the rich people? I wish I had people, things like those people did. But there's not a person in here, Harley, that it does not qualify as one of the one percenters of the world. God has blessed us greatly. But I wonder, do we recognize that? Are we satisfied for those things? Have we truly given God thanks? So let me ask you these questions before we move on. Are you thankful for what the Lord has given you? Have you blessed the Lord with your life? Have you personally given thanks to Him? Is your giving of thanks half-hearted, or have you given thanks with all that you are? The Bible says, "Bless the Lord with these things." Well, not just the demand of thanksgiving, but secondly, here's this. There is the desire of thanksgiving, the desire of thanksgiving. We are thankful for reasons, or should be. We recognize some things about our life. So he says in verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." So many times we simply fail to understand what God has blessed us with. The benefits of God. The book of James chapter 1 verse 17 says, "For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." We are thankful for God gives gifts. It gives them based on His goodness, not ours. And so we should surely praise the Lord. We should be thankful. Psalms 103, verse 2 again, speaks about these things called benefits. We recognize the great benefits that He lays out in our life. So notice these things. We need to see the benefits of food. We need to see the benefits of food in verse 5. "Who satisfies thy mouth with good things." Now I'm telling you, I'm tempted to think the psalmist was Baptist. Amen. We had Thanksgiving yesterday. We'll have Thanksgiving again on Thursday. Matter of fact, we have a lot of Thanksgiving meals. I like that. And man, how good it is when we sit down the table at the Osteens or with the Osteen family. Man, we do it. I'm gonna brag a little bit. We do it right. And I know y'all guys do too. But how good it is to enjoy a good meal and good fellowship with people around us. And yet sometimes we don't give the Lord praise. We don't recognize how blessed we are. I go back to the wilderness journeys with walking in the woods with the Israelites. And God provided daily, every single day, God gave them an abundance. For 6 days, they picked up manna. And on the seventh day, they didn't have to pick it up because there was so much on the sixth day, they double picked it up. And God, they didn't even have to go outside to do that. And so we find they were blessed and blessed, and yet we find, as we'll see in a little bit, that they grumbled and grumbled and grumbled. I wonder, will we recognize the great benefits of food? He has given us the bread, physical bread, but also the bread of life. We need to understand how good that is. Not only the benefits of food, but secondly, he gives the benefit of forgiveness, the benefits of forgiveness. Verse 4 says, who's redeemed thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The psalmist could look back and see his life at an early life was filled with things that maybe were not good, some things that were not right, maybe some missteps in his life. And he understood that God forgave him of those things that caused destruction in his life. I'm reminded that life is hard because of sin. Adam's sin started the curse, but our sin continues to prop up its consequences. Someone said not too long ago, I saw online about, all you preachers out there, y'all not to preach on sin so hard. Let me just tell you, we're not preaching on sin hard like that to make you feel bad or to make you feel uncomfortable in one sense, but to show you the right way. And that same preaching applies to everybody. And I can look in the mirror and preach to myself. We recognize that sin destroys us, that sin brings destruction, that sin brings consequences. And for God's great benefit to be on us, we should turn from those things and live a godly life. But he also looks at the life to come, the destruction that he removes from those things that are not good. Again, who forgiveth all thine iniquities in verse 3. And then verse 10 says this, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. I am so thankful that God removes our sins. He erases those things. As far as the east from the west, he takes the sins and removes them from us. And you may be here thinking, I wish I could partake of that. I wish I could have my sins forgiven. I wish I could enjoy this idea of my sins being gone. But you don't know what I've done. Let me remind you about the guy who wrote this. God gave him so much. God gave him bountiful things and blessings and blessings. But it was not enough, especially when it came to other ladies. He started out as a good shepherd, but because of God's work and God's will, he did good. But then he abused those powers. If you remember, he was in an adulterous relationship. He was in a place where he should not have been. And so he did that, then lied about it, and then had the adulterer's wife, her husband, killed in battle. He recognized his iniquities were there. And through the process, as he prayed and as he sought the Lord and as he was chastised by the Lord, he recognized that God is still a God of mercy and grace, and God was still willing to forgive his sins. And he called on the name of the Lord, and his sins were done. Notice what it says in verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. One of the greatest benefits that you ought to give thanks for in your life today, and in my life, we can call on the name of the Lord and our sins can be completely forgiven. It ought to be a day of thanksgiving every day when you recognize that. Verse 11 says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. In other words, there's nothing that his mercy cannot conquer. There's nothing that his mercy cannot overcome. There is nothing that God cannot and will not forgive. It's the idea, though, those that fear him, those that seek him, those that recognize him. I like what Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Jesus said it a little different way. He says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are laden, and I will give you rest. Those that labor and those that are heavy laden, if you'll just come to Jesus, he will give you rest. God's mercy and grace are available. But let me remind you, it is not automatic. He just doesn't just pour it on some and pour it on others and not these and not. It's available to everybody. It is freely given, and he wants you to freely accept that. And for those that have trusted in him, for those that have called on the name of the Lord, he has forgiven their sins and redeemed them in their life. So we should see the benefits of food. We should see the benefits of forgiveness. But also we need to see the benefits of his favor. He says in verse 4, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 13 says this, Like as a father pitieth the children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. I'm not real sure exactly what kind of father King David had. I don't know the ins and outs of his father Jesse's life. But evidently he understood something about a loving father. I can relate to my father. My father loved me. There was not a day in my life that my dad did not show that love or tell me or yes, he chastised me. And sometimes I didn't feel it maybe there. But my dad loved me. And so I can relate to this Heavenly Father that my Father above loves me even greater than that. And so he loves us as well. There is nothing better than God's favor. Let me remind you about God's favor. It's not some genie in a bottle that you just say a little thing and rub the ball and poof, you get all you want to. No, it's this one that truly gives us the very best. I've already read James 1:17, but let me read it again. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, God, our Father, is not some iffy God. He doesn't, think and feel this on one day, and then, I don't feel like it on this day. No, he's the same every day, and that is a God of love, mercy, and grace. And he has blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. Matter of fact, we can even say that he's blessed every person, believer or not, but how good it is when you recognize the true believer and he blesses. Matthew chapter 5 says this, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. And so do we truly recognize these blessings? And does that blessing cause us to live a different life? I think I've shared this before, but this is good. There was during a memorial service at church, parents of a young soldier killed in action gave the church a large gift for a memorial for their son. During that presentation, there was another family that said, hey, let's do the same thing. And one of the family members kind of protested, we can't do that. Our son has not been killed in battle. And one said, that's why we should give praise, because his life has been spared. Let's give more. Let's recognize God's mercy and grace. So in today, as you think about your life, does your life truly say thank you? Does your life simply recognize the Lord? Have you had a time of thanksgiving when thinking of all your blessings? Have you said thank you for the bounty of food? Have you said thank you for your forgiveness? Have you said thank you for the favor that God has poured out in your life? We should see all these things and bless the Lord with a thank you. Well, notice the third thing. Not just the demand of thanksgiving and the desire of thanksgiving, but the destination of thanksgiving. The destination of thanksgiving. Where does all this thanksgiving go to? I can assure you our thanksgiving does not fall on deaf ears. One, you could say our thanksgiving goes before our fellow man. Kind of a stretch here, but listen to this, verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. In other words, people hear our praises. It goes before those around us, and it should start with our family. Our family should see us giving thanks. It should start at home, and your children will see something in you. They will see you grumble, or they will see you give gratitude and praise. They will see you grumble about what you don't have, or they will see you be grateful for what God has blessed you with. Will your family see in your life today a people that are truly grateful? Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He says in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a command for your life to be a blessing, to simply say thank you, and your family should see that. But it also should be seen with those that you fellowship with. People can see if you're the one that truly gives thanks or not. They can see the positive or the negative in your words as you offer them up. How thankful do people see you? The psalmist said in 105 verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Colossians 3:15 simply ends with this, and be ye thankful. If people were to look at your life for this next week and write down those things, would they find again a grumbler or a person of gratitude? our giving of thanks goes before our fellow man. But secondly, our thanksgiving goes before our foes. Or I really should say those that are against God. Matter of fact, verse 22 says, bless the Lord all of his works in all places of his dominion. Even though those things that God has conquered, even though those places that God rules, there's some that are good, yes, but also some that are not. And I think about the unsaved. Will the lost hear us speak praises? God speaks in all kinds of ways, but one of the greatest ways is by the mouth of his people declaring how good he is. Do those around you hear the praise of God? Do you give God credit when things go good in your life, even when you're with unbelievers? Do you show others how God has worked in your life? The people will see it. They may not appreciate it, but I'm telling you, God will honor those words. Even Satan himself will hear our words. Now, Satan is not all-knowing, but he can figure it out pretty easy by the words you say and the actions you do. And I'm reminded what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. I like that story told about how just like lions in the safari Africa kind of roam around looking for the weak and injured, and seeing and hearing the weak and injured, those are the ones that he attacks. And I can remind myself that, do I look like I'm full of the Lord? Do I live a life that is strong in Christ Jesus? Or do I walk around grumbling and complaining, being weak in my faith? I can tell you that's who and when the enemy attacks. We need to recognize that God wants us to simply shout those good things that go before our fellow man and our foes. But thirdly, our giving of thanks goes before the Father. The giving of thanks, thanksgiving goes before the Father. When you recognize and understand how good that is, that the Father hears these things, he says in verse 21, bless the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do pleasure. Bless the Lord, all of his work in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We recognize that the Father hears our words. The psalmist said in 99:5, exalt the Lord, O God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Psalms 100, verse 4, enter to his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Be thankful in him and bless his name. Psalms 22:3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, or the praises of his people. I wonder, are we a people that simply lift our voice to the Father? He hears our praise or the lack thereof. You know, when you go back to the New Testament and you read Romans chapter 1, you start looking at all the things that were wrong that Paul writes about those that have turned against God. One of the things is he declares all these unholy things. And verse 21 really kind of stands out because this says this, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. And so let me remind you, we ought to be a people that thank him, that lift up his voice, our voices, to say how good he is. We need to recognize that it's a kind of like a trial run here, that we're going to praise him here, but when we get there, it will be a time of continual praise as we shout how good God has done for us, how great things God has done for us. So how can you be truly thankful? It's simply this: recognize the one who is the great blesser and follow him. Let me end with this. There was a story told about New York City, and it's Broadway and 42nd. It's one of the busiest traffic areas in that place, and this was many years ago, of course. And there was a cat there with a kitten trying to get across the road in the cars, and it's just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And she would start to cross and then get scared and back up, start to cross and get scared and back up. And so it did this just for a little bit, and a policeman happened to see this cat doing this. And so he gets out there and puts his hands up, and the traffic stops, and the cat runs across the road to that destination. He drops his hands, and the traffic resumes. And the guy who told the story said the cat never realized that by the authority of New York, the traffic was stopped and a way was made. And he relates that to us many times, that we fail to recognize that sometime in the middle of our life, when everything is going crazy, that God just stops everything, makes a way, and we make it safely to our next destination. When we recognize that, when we understand those great things, when we understand the wonders of God, We simply go back and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. Bless his holy name. I hope this morning that your life does that. I hope that you leave here with a heart that wants to bless the Lord by simply living for him. He has done so much for us. Let us commit ourselves, commit our lives to living and doing what God desires. If you just bow your heads just for a moment, close your eyes, think about your life. Is it a life of thanksgiving or not? Is it a life of gratitude or grumbling? Is it a life that truly seeks to honor God? You can't truly say thank you to live a life of thanksgiving without first surrendering your life, recognizing what God's done, and submitting to the call of God. So maybe you're here today for the first time. You've never said yes to the Lord. Why not start that great thank you process by saying, Lord Jesus, save me, forgive me, and then thank him for his mercy and grace. Why not make that public this morning, another form of thankfulness. As we begin to sing, you just walk forward and say, Brother Paul, I've been saved, now what? I've given my life to Christ, now what? How do I continue to say thank you? Maybe you've done that and never been baptized and you need to be baptized. Maybe it's church membership and God's called you to this place to worship and honor him. Maybe it's at this altar praying and saying thank you. Whatever it is, do not miss the opportunity to simply bless the Lord's name and to say thank you for all of his wonderful deeds that he has steady poured out in your life. Say thank you to the Lord. Father, we say thank you today. We say thank you for your mercy and grace. We say thank you for the benefits, for the blessings of all those things that you poured out, especially for forgiveness. I pray for the invitation this morning that you bless us with a conviction to simply look back towards you and do those things you called us to do. Thank you, Lord, for all this. Bless today in Jesus' name. Amen.